Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
And you have no place to charge it. You guys ever been there? And so all of a sudden, you're in the red. And it's 20%, and you think, I need this to last for the next 3 hours. So you stop surfing Facebook and you stop, you know, doing all the internet things, and you're just going to make phone calls. You guys ever been there? And you're praying that the charge lasts. Remember the old phones? The charge didn't hardly last at all. You know, and you just got frustrated, especially when the new smartphones came out and the batteries weren't really upgraded to what the phone could actually do. And they would last a few hours. And you had like a charger, you know, in your car. You had a charger in your office. You bought like 10 chargers, right? Had a charger downstairs. And everywhere you went, you just had to plug it in. You thought to yourself, what's the use of having a cell phone, right, without, you know, when I have to keep it plugged in? I think one of the most frustrating things in our house is children who steal chargers. Oh my gosh. I think we've lost our salvation more in the stolen charger realm than anything else. And had to repent and get saved again. See all my family now, all four of them, they have iPhones. That's why I have an Android phone. Because you can't touch my charger. And they're trying to convince me to go iPhone, but every time I go in the bathroom and I see my charger there, matter of fact, here it is, right? Every time I am so happy, and every time I hear my wife scream, where's my charger? Don't touch my charger. Because I'm going to fill my phone up. I love it when it's filled. You get up in the morning, you unplug it. Isn't it a bummer when you forget to plug it in? Because it never really catches up. You notice that? You get up in the morning, you're like, oh my gosh, I got to go in 30 minutes. Quick, plug the phone in. And it never really catches up. And you've got to operate throughout the day at 50%. And that sucks. It does. 50% is not good. Because you know you're not going to make it. And you know what? That's how some Christians live their life. They kind of operate half full. I think we should actually, I'm going to invent one. I think we should get like a spiritual meter that we all wear. That way when you come into church, I can stand at the door and I can just see if you're in the red or not. I was like, I wonder where they're at. Oh, 75%. Woo, good job. Ooh, 18%, you need to be here. Get upstairs quick and pray. It's like, we need to get you charged up here and get you filled up. But wouldn't that be cool if y'all had a little meter? Maybe it was on our head or something when we walked in. I'll be like, what have you been doing this week? Oh, no guilt, no condemnation, right? My charger is very important to me. Have you ever gone on vacation and forgot your charger and you had to buy one? And you realize how stinking expensive they are. And it is a real, real hassle, real pain. So I want to talk this morning as we're speaking on the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about being filled. Because filled is a good thing. Having a full bank account is a good thing. Can you say amen? Isn't it fun when you got a full bank account and you can just pay your bills? You know, you don't have to like pick and choose. Come on now, we all been there, right? But all of a sudden, you made enough money that month. Like, we have a business, and we count on customers, and I'm feeling good. When I can go, and remember when we used to do the bills, and we had to fill out the check and put it in the envelope? You guys remember that? How long it took? But all of a sudden, we got online bill pay. That saved me, like, a whole day of my life every month, literally. Because now I can, when the count is full, I just go on there, like, click, 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 click. Within an hour and a half, it's like, it's paid. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good. And when you got money left after that, that feels so good. You out there? Anybody? It feels so good. You know, it's the same way with being a Christian. The Bible talks about us being filled, and not just filled once with the Holy Spirit, but being filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Like staying full. When you stay full of the Holy Spirit, you walk in the Spirit. You walk in God's wisdom and his direction. So staying full, just like receiving the Holy Spirit for the first time with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is an act of your will. It's an intentional thing. You have to want what God has freely given. It's all an act of our will. God will never come and just, you know, take you over. God and his Holy Spirit are gentlemen. They will never force you to do anything. You have to be willing to receive. You got to be willing to flow. You got to be willing to be filled. The first time that you spoke in tongues, you got to be willing to open your mouth and let those words come out. You just can't stand there and say, okay, God, if this gift is of you, then you make me do it. And God's like, that's not how it works. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them or gave them the utterance. The Holy Spirit didn't speak in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Amen. They had to open their mouth. They had to yield to the presence of God. And so we're talking about being filled. And if you want to go there really quick, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We had talked about this last week, and if you weren't here last week, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we are a church that is getting over thinking that speaking in tongues is weird. Amen? Let's just get past it, because you can't pick and choose what you read in the Bible. I mean, you can if you want, but you can't ignore half of the New Testament. You can't ignore 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. You can't ignore the whole book of Acts. We can't ignore it, so we can't pick and choose. Although some churches do, some pastors do, and because of fear of the unknown, they're afraid to go there. But I don't want to be afraid to go there, because I know how much the infilling of the Holy Spirit, how much that prayer language has benefited me personally over the years. It empowered me. It gave me victory. It gave me victory over sin, gave me victory over my thinking, gave me the power to do what I need to do and consistently do what I need to do over the past 25 years of being in ministry. More excited today than ever before. Hallelujah. More excited today. And that's the way it should be. It's the way it should be. And the reason is that, God, I am open and willing most of the time, open and willing to receive everything that you have for me. And if not, God, hit me. You got permission to slap me upside the head and say, hey, Bob, this is in the Bible. Open up and read it. I'm like, oh, is that there? Well, I've been kind of avoiding that scripture. Lord God. Okay. Oh, there it is again. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Oh, there's the third time, God. Well, it must be true. You must be trying to speak to me. You know, sometimes people take one scripture out of context and make a doctrine out of it. And that's just not good biblical interpretation. So you can't avoid the Holy Spirit teaching. You can't avoid the gifts of the Spirit. You can't avoid speaking in tongues. You can't avoid those things. But I'm saying it today because I know how much it has thrusted me and benefited me in the ministry that God's given me. And many of you will have the same testimony. We had a great men's breakfast yesterday, and just talking about this. And it was a great group of guys, and many new guys there. Appreciate you coming. Fun to get together and study the Word and eat 12 egg omelets together. And it's one thing to order the 12-egg omelet and the hash browns, but there's someone there that actually put gravy on the hash browns. I won't mention his name. I won't mention his name, Aaron, but that's awesome. But he didn't finish it, so I didn't pay for your meal. Took half of it home. So smart choice, yeah. That's probably enough calories for like 3 days, right? Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, all of them, everybody say all. All of them were filled. Everybody say filled. That means their meter was at 100%. They were filled up. Couldn't fit anymore. Overflowing. Filled. overflowing. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then we talked about how that when Peter got up and preached after they're all drunk in the Holy Ghost and down, you know, shouting and screaming and dancing and having a party on the streets, Peter gets up and preached because thousands of people are coming together wondering what the heck is going on. And Peter basically says, after the crowd approaches and says, hey, what do we need to do, Peter? And Peter's like, repent every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift is for you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter emphasized the all. It's for everyone. Now, some will say, well, speaking in tongues and giving an interpretation in a service, well, that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Not everyone will do that, but everyone can have the evidence of being filled with the Spirit and the tool to stay filled called your prayer language or speaking in other tongues. Belongs to every believer. Every believer. Every believer. Go to Acts chapter 9. Just turn a few pages there. Acts chapter 9. Paul had just been knocked off his horse and a light shone from heaven. He got blinded and they took him into the city to Straight Street and they took him to a home and the guy's home was Ananias. Ananias was a spirit-filled believer. Spirit-filled believer. And it says in verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, who eventually became Paul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see, number one, I'm sure Saul was probably thinking, thank God for that, because being blind is not good, especially for a prideful guy, you know, not knowing where to go. That was a humbling experience for a prideful man, so that you may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say filled. Come on, somebody shout filled. I'm not just going to give you a little bit. I'm going to fill you up. Be filled. Now, you may read this and think, well, it doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues. Well, let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. If you want to turn there, you don't have to. We'll put it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 says this. Paul says this. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul was a tongue talker. Paul spoke in tongues. How do you think Paul received the revelation to write a third of the New Testament? He prayed in tongues. Praying in the Spirit gets you translated to another realm. Praying in the tongues quiets your mind down because a lot of times our minds and our emotions will be raging. Our mind is the part the devil attacks. The fiery darts and the fiery arrows that are coming out our head. The devil doesn't want you to dive into the deeper, take me deeper. Doesn't want you to dive into the deeper things of God. He wants to keep you on the soul realm. He wants to keep you in the emotional realm. He wants to keep you in the intellectual realm. How many know the Holy Spirit is a genius? The Holy Spirit knows all things. He's a genius. Thank God for education. Thank God for college. Thank God for degrees. But a degree necessarily will not make you successful in the realm of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's prayer. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. There is always more to be had when it comes to having a relationship with God. Always more. And our goal should be every time we get up on Sunday and go to church, thank you God, I'm going to get some more. I am drained. I am at 20%. I'm coming to get filled up. Fill me up with your word. Fill me up with your Spirit. So I can leave this place and go out and just leak all over people. How many know Christians leak? We all leak. How many feel sometimes you just feel spiritually empty? And you can get to the point of feeling spiritually dead. And you need to call someone up and say, will you pray for me? Well, the goal should be, don't let it drop down below 50% before you check your meter. Amen? Check the meter, find the charger, plug it in, and fill back up again. Because if you're waiting from Sunday to Sunday, it's not going to work. The thing is, God set this whole thing up in his infinite wisdom and glory. Set this whole thing up. See, he could have filled you up. God could have done anything, right? Could have filled you up and filled you with the Holy Spirit for like 6 months. Say, okay, I'm going to give you a 6-month supply. We're going to send you to the Costco heaven. And we are going to fill you up with everything you need for 6 months. Or he could have filled you up for a year. You know, some people that live way out in the country, they don't shop at that little store that costs a lot of money. They go to Costco and they stock up. You know, when you're in the middle of the woods living in the Cascade National Forest somewhere, in a cabin somewhere, it's not a fun thing when you run out of toilet paper because leaves are very, 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 very coarse. Amen? You got to stay filled up. You got to stay supplied. Are you guys out there? You don't want to run out of beans when you're cooking hot dogs that day. You go out in the garage and you got to make sure there's beans there. You got to stay supplied. You got to stay filled up. Amen? Amen. Filled up. Got to stay filled up. Hallelujah. Everybody say filled. We operate so much better when we're filled. There's no doubt about it. You got to stay filled. We leak. So why did God do this? We leak daily. We empty daily. We need God every day. We should be coming tomorrow morning when you get up. Get your word out and get filled up before you leave. Because the Bible says, in the morning, Lord, I hear your voice. In the morning, Lord, I wait for expectation. Best time is in the morning. Get filled up. And if you can only do a little, do a little. But, you know, wake up praying a prayer and speaking in tongues. Say, Lord, I'm going to get filled up this morning. Hallelujah. Because when I leave here this morning, I'm expecting you, Lord, to speak to me. I'm expecting you to guide me. I got an important business meeting and a business decision. And I know that you said in your word, Holy Spirit, that you are the knower and the knower lives in me. And therefore, I know all things. And what does the Holy Spirit do for us also? He shows us things to come. Anybody here ever have dreams? Ever have God dreams showing you things to come? It's one of the ways God speaks to me. Sometimes I wake up and I've had a God dream and I saw exactly what was going to take place. And months down the road, I saw that thing take place, and I turned to my wife because I had already told her, and I said, I saw that in a dream. She's like, yep, I know. See things. God wants to show you things. Why? Because he gives his children the advantage. In life, in business, in every area of our life, God wants you to be successful. He will give you an advantage. He is working on your behalf. Hallelujah. In the future, setting things up, causing divine connections to happen. This is what the job of the Holy Spirit is. And when we interact with him, when we pray in English, pray in the Spirit. There's many things that the prayer of praying in the Spirit will do for you that'll cause supernatural events to take place in your life. That will enact supernatural things that you could never do in the natural by planning them, by organizing them, or by budgeting them. Supernatural things can happen by the Spirit of God, because he sees those things. We can pray so much in English, but Romans chapter 8 teaches us that when we pray in the Spirit, we actually are praying the perfect will of God. So many times, how many just praying in English, you get to a certain point in your life, or in your prayer time, where you reach this point where I don't know what else to say. It just seems empty. It seems dry. I'm not that good of a prayer. I don't know that many scriptures, you know, and we can look them up. We can pray them. But what happens is what I say a lot of times, say, Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I've prayed everything I know to pray in English. Now I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you pray through me the perfect will of God for my day today. Or you, because there's no distance in prayer, you pray through me the perfect will of God for my cousins who are missionaries in Africa. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going on there, but there's something on the inside that tells me I need to pray. I haven't talked to them in months, but something tells me I need to pray. I don't even know what to pray for, but I'm going to pray the perfect will of God, and I'm going to pray in my prayer language. And I thank you that supernaturally you take care of their situation. You protect them from ISIS. You protect them from being abducted. Hallelujah. You protect their staff. You protect their orphanage in Haiti. Are you out there? No distance in prayer. God can use you supernaturally in your own personal war room every morning. Anybody see the movie War Room? Go see it. It'll change your prayer life. Go see the movie War Room. It's amazing. It'll change. I'm thinking to myself, how are they going to make a movie on prayer? You know? I'm thinking it's going to be one of those boring Christian movies. Yeah, you guys ever go to one of those boring Christian movies and you're actually embarrassed to be a Christian in the movie? You guys, it was like, oh my gosh, another hokey Christian movie. But man, that movie will change. Immediately, you want to go home. You want to clean out your closet of all your clothes. And you want to make a little prayer war room in there. And you want to hang up all your prayer requests. And you want to get in there and pray. That's what the movie makes you do. It's amazing. If you're having troubles in your marriage, go see War Room. That movie will save your marriage. It'll save your marriage. Paul, I believe, dove more deeper into the Spirit by praying in the Spirit on a regular basis. And I believe he saw more things happen supernaturally in his ministry because he was willing to pray in his prayer language. He was filled. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn there really quick as we continue on. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul again, he wants the Ephesians to be filled. He wants the Philippians to be filled. As a matter of fact, the New Testament, it was written to Spirit-filled Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, he wanted the Corinthians to be filled. They were a little quirky. They were a little fleshy. And then when they got filled, Paul even had to write 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 to bring some order to their spiritual craziness that was happening in their church. And if you read that, he brings some order. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, Paul's saying, but y'all can't spend 5 hours here just doing what you want to do. It's just unproductive. Here's some rules. Here's some guidelines on how you can flow in the Spirit together and be encouraged. How you can hear from God for your church and for the movement and for your personal lives. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, do not be foolish in verse 17, but understand what the Lord's will is. Probably the number one question that Christians have is, what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? Well, here it is. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead be. All right, we'll have a little contest. This side first. Instead be. Thank you so much. How about this side? Instead be. Ooh, you guys are better. Louder. All right, I'll give you another chance. Instead be. Whoa, yes. That is really good. You guys want another chance? Forget it. We don't got time. Anyway. Filled. You win. There's that big German voice coming from that side. Those Germans can be loud. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Actually, the word be filled with the Spirit is in the continual tense. It means be being filled. Be being filled. Continually be filled. Continually speak to yourself. What does that mean? Well, we come together and we worship together corporately, speaking to one another, as Colossians teaches us. And Ephesians talks about your own personal speaking to yourself, singing to the Lord in your own war room, in your own prayer closet, speaking to yourself. That's how we stay filled. We stay filled by speaking. The gospel is powerless when it's left on the page. You hear me? The word of God is powerless when it's left on the page. The word of God was intended to be planted inside of your soul and your mind and dropped down into your spirit and spoken out of your mouth. The word of God is powerful when we speak it, when we sing it, when we proclaim it over our lives, when we believe that what we're saying really is from God. How do we get saved? Well, we get saved by we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Therefore, we were saved. Amen? Speak God's word. Proclaim God's word. What did Jesus do? He said to the devil, "It is written." And he shot him down and caused him to depart because he resisted him with the word. Resisted him with the word. Speak God's word. Well, you say, okay, Pastor Bob, well, it doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues there. Well, where's that? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is the chapter that Paul brings correction and teaching concerning the flow and the move of the Holy Spirit amongst the believers. And one of the things he distinguished in the first chapter is the difference between your personal prayer language and using the gift of other tongues and interpretation in the church. He distinguishes the difference and teaches on the difference. Okay? So one of the things he says in verse 15, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. So what is that referring to? Praying with my spirit is referring to praying in other tongues because it's something that we do not understand. Our mind is unfruitful, yet our spirit prays, the Bible says. So he's referring to that. He says, I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Be really funny if our praise team get up here and just start singing in tongues for three songs. I'm going to do three songs in tongues this morning. You'd be like, this place is weird. And we don't purpose to be weird. We just purpose to be powerful. We purpose to take all the benefits and all the things that God has freely given us. Amen? And teach on it. Because I know it's going to help you. So singing with our spirit. Have you ever heard anybody sing in the spirit? Sing in other tongues. It can be the most anointed experience with the presence of God. When you're alone in your war room, pray in your understanding, sing in your understanding, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Get filled up. Get filled up. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul, again, teaching on prayer. He also taught on praying in English as well. And he gives us one of the prayers in the book of Ephesians that he taught Christians to pray. How many know believers need to pray for themselves? We're not just called to pray for one another. We're called to pray for ourselves, our own situation. Powerful prayer. In verse 14, he said, for this reason I kneel before the Father. This is Paul praying for the Ephesians. He said, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. Aren't you glad you're part of the family? I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High Father, part of the family. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, Do you ever notice in the Bible that whenever the word glory is mentioned, riches is mentioned with it? Somebody say wealth. Do you know that God doesn't mind you being rich? You guys should be standing up like running around the church like, ooh, yes. God doesn't mind you building a business, multi-billion dollar business. Do you know the earth belongs to you and the fullness thereof? You know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Do you know that God takes delight in the prosperity of his servant? Come on, say, everybody say rich. Somebody say rich. Do you know that God doesn't want you to, God wants you to stop living on barely get along street and move over to rich street? More than enough is the God that I serve. His name is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He not only supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory, but he also gives me the desires of my heart when I delight myself in him. Hallelujah. He fulfills my dreams and my passion. You guys out there? This is not a prosperity message, but this is God's word. Wealth. Everybody say wealth. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Everybody say prosper. Is money? I've been without money and I've been with money, and having money is so much better than having no money. Can you say amen? All right, we'll move on. You guys are looking at me like, huh? Is that part of the message? No, that's just a bonus. That's a bonus teaching right there, all right? It says, here we go. It says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, because that's where he lives. He comes to indwell you. From your belly, your inner being, will flow rivers of living water, will flow power. Power. His unending power lives in you. That's when you lay hands on the sick, where's the power come from? It's not coming from heaven. It's coming from in you because he lives in you. When you pray in the spirit, it's like taking a poker and you got to get the fire going. Amen. Your tongue is like a poker. You know, when the fire dies down, what do? And you don't have any more wood left. You go stir it up. You flip the logs over. And you get the fire and the flame to burn brighter, faster, and produce more heat. Praying in the spirit is God takes your tongue and he goes down inside your spirit where he dwells. And the Bible says you stir yourself up on your most holy faith. Hallelujah. You stir up the gifts of God that he's placed inside of you. You stir up the peace of God that's been placed in you, the joy of the Lord, the unending supply of the gifts that he's already given you through his son, Jesus Christ. Live in you. Woo, hallelujah. You are God carriers. You carry it around. You carry him around. You carry the gifts around. Unending wisdom, unending power, unending supply. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Everybody say, I'm holy. To grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. I want to go deeper. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be. Man, come on now. That you may be. Filled. I don't want to go around with only half my clothes on. I want to get fully dressed. Amen? Joel's like, thank you, Jesus. Amen, Pastor Bob. To be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of the fullness of God. See, this is the prayer that you need to pray over yourself. I challenged the guys yesterday. We went over this prayer. For the next 6 months, I challenge you to pray this prayer every day. Take the prayer and personalize it. Take the prayer and personalize it. For this reason, God, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family, because I'm part of that family, God, in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen me with power through your spirit in my inner being, because that's where you dwell. You dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that I would be rooted and established in love, that I, Bob Trombi, would have the power, together with the Lord's holy people, which is the church, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that I, Bob Trombi, would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I want everything that you have for me, Jesus. Filled. Fill me, God. And then what happens when you're filled? Here's what happens. Verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in heaven. What does it say, Josh? His power that is at work in us. In us. In us. Oh, God, I'm begging you to help me. God says, I already have. I gave you my son, Jesus, and I filled you with my Holy Spirit. All the power is in you. You carry it around with you every day. In you. In you. You may not acknowledge it. You may be ignoring him. I encourage you to stop ignoring what's in you. You know, one of the worst places to be as a Christian and ignoring the power every day, hoping that somehow life will go better. And God is in you and he's kind of knocking. You ever feel that knocking on the insides? It's like, hey, let me out. I'm the Holy Spirit. I live in you. Hello. You just keep ignoring them. The Holy Spirit's like, another new day. You're gonna acknowledge me today. I'm in here. Want to give you some wisdom. Know you got a meeting today. Got to make a decision. What house to buy. Amen. Got to make a decision on what offer to put in on that house you're going to buy. I can help you. No, I don't need you. I know real estate. I bought so many houses, I'm an expert. Well, how many know you got a genius living on the inside of you? He owned the land before you. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody out there this morning? Somebody, are you guys getting something or do I need to stop? Hallelujah. We need to be filled because we leak. God wants to have that relationship with you every day. Go to his growler filling station, amen, and get filled up with new wine. New wine, no hangover. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, last scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You would say, okay, Paul's talking to the Ephesians. He wants them to be filled. He's talking to the Corinthians. If you read 1 Corinthians, he's talking to them about being filled. If you read Philippians, he's talking to them about being filled. He refers to them as spirit-filled believers. He's talking to all the letters that Paul wrote. He's talking to spirit-filled churches. Paul knew that the gift that God had given him in Ananias' house, he knew that that gift was going to be something he needed to distribute throughout the world, and he did. He went into a town and he found some believers there that hadn't even heard of Jesus. They were baptized by the baptism of John. He preached to them. On that same day, they got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. I think it's Acts chapter 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's the title in my Bible, NIV Bible. Because a lot of times they'll give a title, whoever made the translation. The title of 1 Corinthians 14 is this, Intelligibility in Worship. Ooh, that sounds like somebody's getting their doctorate or something. Intelligibility in Worship. And then he goes on to talk about speaking in tongues. anybody see that funny at all, you know? Yeah, I think it's funny. It's all right, I'm having a little pity party. I'm having a little party up here myself, all right? All right, here we go. Verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I want to emphasize this morning, eagerly desire. eagerly desire. Like I said, God is a gentleman. He'll never come and force you to do anything. You got to want it. You got to be hungry for it. Hopefully I'm getting you hungry. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in the tongue does not speak to people but to God. Talking about your personal prayer language. Indeed, no one understands them. They may utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for three things. New Testament prophecy definition is these three words: for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. New Testament prophecy, as far as those three gifts of the Spirit, you have tongues and interpretation and prophecy. Tongues and interpretation equal prophecy. There's three gifts. Those gifts were given us not to tell the future. That is the word of wisdom. Not to tell someone's past. That is the word of knowledge. Those gifts were given to you as believers to supernaturally encourage each other in your faith and in your walk with God. So when you hear someone give a tongue and interpretation or a prophetic word in church, you'll know it's from God because it should always be uplifting and encouraging. Not the world is going to fall apart, so you must run into your shelters that you've built in your backyards and, and the devil's going to get you. You sorry sinner. No, when it's done without love, it's not prophecy. It should be uplifting. It should be encouraging. You should feel good. When a word comes in church or in a group or in a prayer group, you sense that uplift. It's like, whoo. It's like, whoo, yeah. And the Spirit of God just falls on you and you can tangibly feel his presence and you're just like, this is amazing. Don't stop. We were at a meeting this week, and the preacher was preaching for an hour and a half, and he's a funny guy. His name is Mark Hankins. He's a funny guy. He would make you laugh, and then you'd be laughing, and he would hit you with this deep spiritual truth. Bam! And what the laughter was doing, it was just opening up our hearts to receive. And it was to the point after an hour and a half in preaching one night, I was definitely getting tired, but I'm thinking to myself, don't stop, you know? Because it was so good. It was so deep. It was so rich. I'm like, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. By the end, you're exhausted. How many know you can get spiritually exhausted? If you ever spoke in ministry or gone anywhere and done any kind of missions or ministry or pastoral work, you get tired. Like, I'll go home today after we eat, you know, and now that I'm 53, I never used to take a nap. But now it's like, boom, I'm out. Because you get spiritually tired, and it wears on your body physically. So desire those spiritual gifts. For anyone who speaks in the tongue does not speak to people but to God, your prayer language. Indeed, no one understands them, but they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, the public gift of speaking in tongues. Now he goes back again in verse 4 to the private gift. It says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves or himself. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. He makes the distinction between the two. The distinction between the two. To edify means to recharge yourself like a battery. To recharge yourself like a battery. Another scripture for that is found in Jude 20. There's only one chapter. It says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, recharge yourself like a battery. So how do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? We speak in other tongues. We pray in other tongues. You recharge yourself. So you think to yourself, I have no inspiration whatsoever right now to pray for anybody. When I get up in the morning, I got nothing. Okay, God, but I'm not feeling it this morning. So what I'm going to do, Lord, is by faith, I'm going to pray in my prayer language. And I believe your word that as I pray, I am going to recharge my battery on the inside. And I'm going to go from 10% to 100%. And when I reach 100%, I'm ready for my day. I'm ready to leave here filled up, prayed up, hallelujah, with a little bit of coffee, obviously. I'm ready to recharge myself. So sometimes I just pray in the spirit. I have no clue. My mind is unfruitful. I have no inspiration as far as praying for anybody else. I just pray in the spirit. I say, Lord, I'm recharging myself. There's times where you don't feel like being who you are and doing what you're doing. You ever notice that? You don't want to be there. You don't want to do that. That happens a lot on Sunday mornings because the devil is on your case. He's like, well, it's rainy today. Fall has finally come. I don't need to go to church. Why am I going to stay home? And you know you got to go. You know you want to go, but your head is being attacked. Your emotions are being attacked. So you say, you know what? I'm going to fire myself up this morning. I'm going to start praying in the spirit. I'm going to get filled up this morning. Hallelujah. Because, man, if I check my meter, it's on 3 right now. And I need that up. Before I leave the door, I got to get that up to at least 75, okay? And as I'm driving there, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep speaking in tongues. And I'm going to go to church because I, the pastor, I got to be on 100 before I get there. Amen? I got to be overflowing onto you so that you get encouraged and you leave here filled up. I just can't access the well. I got to access the river. That river overflows and spills out over the dams of my heart and my mind onto you. You get filled up and you leave here shouting. You leave here saying, I can do all things through Christ this week that strengthens me. Hallelujah. I can go forth and do the will of God for my life. Amen. See, you are what you eat. And if all you ever do is eat movies, secular books, surfing Facebook. Come on. You are what you eat. Did you ever notice if Facebook doesn't fulfill you? You get on there and you keep doing the whole little thing with your finger. And then you come on, oh, a video. Oh, you watch a video. Oh, it's okay. Yeah. You keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And what happens is you get bored and you just don't keep going down on your timeline and you're like, forget it, it's stupid. Only God can satisfy that desire. Have you ever felt so empty, or have you ever felt, a lot of times I feel this way on Saturday night, I need to like go take a walk and pray. I just feel restless. You feel like unsatisfied. And you know, they're all like, well, let's watch a movie. Nah, I want to watch a movie. Let's do this. Nah, I don't want to do that. But I know that something's happening on the inside, and God is prompting me to pray. God is prompting me to speak his word. Last night, I was sick. I had an asthma attack. I'm just dealing with a bunch of stuff. I couldn't even pray, so I just took some of the CDs that we bought at the conference. I just listened to 3 hours of the word. I'm like, okay, God, I'm just going to fill myself up. Just fill yourself up however you can. Listen to messages, pray in the spirit, read the word, speak it out loud, and get filled up. And get yourself back in the spirit and stop living in your soul realm and stop being dominated by your flesh, because you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you want to be successful in this thing called Christianity, you use all the tools, the written word that's been fought for centuries for you, so that you and I could get filled up. And the tools of the Spirit that God has given us. If Paul spoke in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues. Because Paul was one of the most successful Christians and ministry figures that walked the planet. And God used him mightily. Ben, so this morning, I'm going to ask you to all stand up. Like I said, being filled with the Holy Spirit is something you have to desire, you have to want. And I know a number of you have said, I want to be prayed for, and that's awesome. We would like to do that this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn the lights down, and I'll tell you one story before we break up here. I was at camp meeting and I was in the prayer room. Kenneth Hagin was preaching and he had an altar call to be filled with the Spirit. And it was at camp meeting, about 20, 25,000 people. And so we had at least 50 people that were on the prayer team. And once he would dismiss, we would leave the Tulsa Convention Center and we'd go back to one of the rooms underneath the stadium to pray for the people. So there was a huge altar call. People wanted to be filled with the Spirit. And we were like, ooh, wow, okay, we're going to be busy. It's going to be great. And we tried to do one-on-one, you know, one person, and individually help them to yield their tongue and their heart and the words that wanted to come out to the Spirit's voice. So I got back there with this one gentleman they paired me up with. And I took him aside and says, okay, I'm going to pray with you. I'll lay my hands on you just like in the Bible and you're going to speak in tongues. And I lay my hands on him. He would say, I can't. And okay, let's try this again, okay? I'm going to lay my hands on you and God's going to give you this amazing prayer language. He's like, I can't. I was like, how many years have you been waiting? Which you don't need to wait anymore. How many years have you been trying to speak in tongues? He goes, like 20 years, two decades. I'm like, don't you think because you've said I can't for so many years that you've actually talked yourself out of actually doing it? So I said to him, I said, I don't want to hear I can't. Say this after me. I can speak in tongues. He would say, I can speak in tongues. Okay, say it again. I can speak in tongues. He'd be like, I can speak in tongues. I made him say it at least 10 times just to get his mind out of, I can't. I said, okay, now I'm gonna lay hands on you. And the moment I didn't even like put my hand on him, he just started praying in his prayer language. And the glory of the Lord just would shine all around him. And his face was so excited that for two decades he wanted this gift and couldn't get this gift. And he literally talked himself out of believing that he could, or the devil had placed this in this seed inside of him that he couldn't. But I helped him to yield his tongue and connect his tongue with his spirit, man. And out of his belly was flowing the rivers of living water. Let me tell you something. After you've been born again, it's easy to receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. Somebody say it's easy. It's easy. It's easy. It's already been poured out. You don't need to tarry for it. You don't need to wait for it. We're not going to beat you on the back for it. Hallelujah. It's easy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, you could actually speak in tongues right now standing there if you just said, Lord, I receive. Hallelujah. It's as easy as that. The Holy Spirit is already here, present in this room. You can sense His tangible presence. He's there to fill you up. So we're going to pray together in the Spirit for a little bit. And I just want you to speak. I just want you to let what's coming out of your mouth. Don't worry about your neighbor. It doesn't matter. So Father, we worship you today. Shambranda la basanda la bramanda la basanda la bereveta. Brandi ribidivita la manda la basanda la bramanda. We worship you, Lord. Shikata la balamanda la basanda la bramanda la bramanda la basanda. Brandi ribidivita.